You know, there are times in life when you step into a life-changing moment and you know that it's coming, right? This is college graduation. This is the birth of a child. This is your wedding day. It's something you've been thinking about and planning for, and you've arranged your life around this moment. And there are times when we have these significant moments marked on our calendar that forever change our lives. And there are also times in life where significant life-changing moments come and we hadn't planned on it. Significant moments that come, you're just going about your ordinary day, ordinary life, and you meet your best friend. Or you meet the person that you will marry, or you meet that person that connects you, that helps you step into your dream job. And all of us have these moments in life where we don't plan for it, but it comes our way and it changes forever. You know, 2 years ago, my wife and I had one of these moments that I remember it vividly. It was in March, very sunny day. I was at home. I was painting our windows, and I'd taken the day off from work, and because it was the first day of March Madness, Kentucky played that night. I had a brisket that was smoking, and we were playing St. Pete, and I knew we were going to win the first round, and I'm outside working, and my wife comes outside, and she says, "Hey, there's a little boy that was just born a couple weeks ago, and he needs a home." My wife and I are foster parents, and we looked at each other and we're like, okay, today's the day. And for 2 years, this little man's been in our house. He's been a part of our family. We're on the trajectory to adopting him. And we're just living our ordinary day, you know, and it's life-changing. You know, some of you today, you showed up and you knew it was going to be a life-changing day. Some of you showed up and you see this trough in front of us filled with water, and you knew that today was going to be the day you're going to get baptized, that you're going to cross over from death to life. And others of you came today, you expected to, you know, maybe meet some nice people and hear a teaching from the Bible and sing some songs, and yet God had deeper, different plans than just showing up and consuming. I love the scripture that we're going to be in today, because we're going to be looking at a pretty high level, these two stories that Graham read. And I wish we had time to really dig into it and to mine out all the gold, but we're going to keep it more, you know, 30,000 foot view so that we can spend some time celebrating baptisms. But what I love that we're going to try to do today is just to look at some of the ways that God works to bring us into a relationship with Jesus. And this is not an exhaustive list, but I love these stories because it's just ordinary people who are going about their business and they encounter the living God, and it sends them on a trajectory that will not just change their life, but will change all of human history. Do you realize that the men that we're going to be reading about today would be the people after Jesus died, rose again, ascended to the heaven, were the ones that took the gospel and shared it. And so much of what we know of today was because of these guys being touched by Jesus, encountering Jesus. And so today I'm excited. We're gonna jump into these passages of scripture and just look at some of the ways that God works to bring us into real relationship with Jesus. And so the first thing that we're gonna see is that one of the ways that God will often work is through a trusted mentor. One of the ways that God often moves to move us from this place of knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus is through a mentor. So in verse 35, it says, "The next day John," this is John the Baptist, "was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus." And I love this because Dave talked about John the Baptist 2 weeks ago. He was this incredible spiritual leader, this great influence. Had people under him that were called disciples that just looked at him and said, "We want to be like you," right? This is what a mentor is. We want to be around you. We want to ask you questions. We see something about your life that we want to emulate. And so John is this spiritual mentor to this guy named Andrew and this other unnamed disciple. In two different days, two back-to-back days, John is hanging out with Andrew and this other disciple, and Jesus passed by, and John says the same things back-to-back day, and for whatever reason, it was the second day that it landed differently in their hearts. These words that they had heard before, but it was the second time. It took the second time hearing it to bring about a change in their life. And so John points out, there's the Lamb of God, and it says instantly they leave John and they start following Jesus. Look at verse 38 with me. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying? Come and you'll see." So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. And so Jesus asked him a question, and Jesus isn't being a jerk here. He's not like, "What are you doing?" Like, he looks at them and he's really forcing them to wrestle with, like, "Hey, why are you following me? What are you after in life?" It's a good question for us to wrestle with. Why do we find ourselves here today? Is it because that's what you do on a Sunday in the South? You go to church? Is it because you wanted to be here with your friends? I want you to really ask the deeper question. What is it that you're actually looking for in life? Why are you here? Their response sounds pretty funny. Jesus is like, "What do you want?" And they're like, "Well, where are you staying?" It's like, that's not the next logical question to ask. But I like at the heart of what they're doing, they're saying, "Jesus, we have some questions, and we'd like to have some time to sit down and talk." And I think it's probably a longer conversation than just a casual walk on the beach. And I love this because Jesus looks at them and he says, "Okay, come over tonight. Come and see. Dinner, my place." And I don't want us to blitz over this because this is incredibly significant. The willingness of God himself to stop what he's doing, to prioritize not just their questions, but them. For the God of the universe to be hospitable, to invite them in, to not go, "You know what, Andrew, 2 months from now, I've got some time on a Tuesday afternoon for you." The creator of it all says, "You're hungry? You got questions right now? Come over." How beautiful. This is true of who God still is. There are many of you here this morning and you have questions and you have hunger, and the Lord's not like, "Hey, just wait a couple of months." He's going, "If you're serious about leaning in, come." Sometimes life-changing moments, life-altering, stepping into a relationship with Jesus comes because a mentor points us to Jesus. Sometimes life-altering moments comes through family. Look at verse 40 through 42. Andrew, which was Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who'd followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. One afternoon with Jesus is all it took for Andrew to be convinced that Jesus was more than just a rabbi, that he was the Son of God. And those of you who are followers of Jesus, you know this. When you experience the Lord, his grace, his mercy, his love, his realness, it's all you need. And I love what Andrew does. The very first thing he does when he realizes that Jesus is not just some teacher, but that he's the Son, he goes and he tells his brother. The same way that being with Jesus helped him believe, he knew that if he could just get his brother in the presence of Jesus, that would be enough. Second part of verse 42, Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." You know, Jesus isn't going, "I don't really like the name Simon. Let's go with Cephas." There's something deeper going on here. I read that oftentimes rabbis, mentors, would give nicknames to their disciples. And in a culture where the mentees would search out the mentors, that people like Andrew would have gone to John the Baptist and said, "Hey, can I learn from you? Can I spend time with you? Can I take you to lunch and just pick your brain about what it means to be a dad and what it means to run a business?" And in a culture where the mentees initiated the mentor, Jesus does the exact opposite. Jesus goes to Peter and says, "Peter, I want you on my team. I want to be your rabbi." Incredibly significant. Jesus gives him a nickname. I want you on my team. I wonder what that would have done in his heart. Jesus, I'm standing there. Peter shows up with some questions, some curiosity, not really knowing. And Jesus looks at him and says, from now on, I want you on my team. Man, what does it do in your heart when you know that God sees you, that God wants you? Changes you. Peter felt it. He saw it in the eyes of God. Many of you, just like myself, you came to know Jesus through family. Through your mom, through your dad, through a brother, through a sister, through your grandparents. And so when you read about Simon Peter, you go, oh yeah, I know what that's like to step into a life with God through a family member. And some of you, you read that and you resonate with Andrew. And some of you, you come here today, and though you've come to know Jesus because of your family, when you look at your family right now, not everyone in your family knows and loves Jesus, and it breaks your heart. You know, you've been trying for years to, like Andrew, bring your family, and they just are resistant. I was talking to a friend this week, and she was telling me that her grandfather, 92-year-old man, his entire life has never followed Jesus, never put his faith in him. In the entirety of my friend's life, she has prayed for her grandfather. And during our month of prayer and fasting back in February, she felt the Holy Spirit tell her, I want you to write a letter to your granddad just explaining the gospel. And so she writes this letter and she mails it to him and you know, doesn't hear anything. She goes and visits her granddad in the hospital a couple weeks ago. And he tells her, hey, I got your letter. I read it 4 times. And that's all he said. She's like, okay, well, you know, nothing else. She's like, okay, I guess that's what I need to know for today. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, her dad, my friend's dad, was sitting in church and part of a different church family here in our city. And during the middle of worship, he just starts weeping. And he feels the Lord put on his heart, hey, I want you to go up to the hospital and I want you to tell the good news. I want you to share the gospel with your father-in-law. And so they had Easter plans, but he's like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And so he goes up to the hospital and he starts talking about Jesus. And he asks his father-in-law, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, yes. You believe that he died and that he's the Son of God, that he's coming back? Yes. And my friend's dad was like, wait a minute, like, are you a believer? Like, yes. Like, why haven't you told anybody? Why haven't you even told your daughters? Well, no one's asked. That's a 92-year-old for you, right? And my friend's going, my granddad, who's 92 years, have been walking from, he hasn't been walking with the Lord. And she said, and finally, he's a believer. And I go, for some of you, it's what you needed to hear this morning. There's someone in your life, it's a kid, it's a parent, it's a sibling. And don't lose hope, don't give up. So much of what you're doing right now, you're sowing that seed and it seems to be falling on hard soil, but you have no idea by you continuing to show up and continuing to share Jesus and to be that light, that one day the Spirit of God is going to come and that seed that you planted in their heart of who Jesus is, the Spirit's going to come in and water it and life's going to come. So don't give up. Some of you have stepped into relationship with Jesus because of a mentor. Some, it's because of family. Some, it's because of a personal encounter with Jesus. I love verse 43. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. Listen to that. Finding Philip. He said to him, follow me. Jesus goes to Philip. Jesus was thinking about Philip. He was looking for Philip. He knew him. Jesus intentionally went after him and called him. I wonder how many of you have this same story, that Jesus came to you even when you weren't looking for him. I have a friend, and he's a church planner out in Mount Juliet, and he was telling me about this guy that is a part of their church family now, and this guy was in the hospital with his wife as his wife was passing away. And as he was in the hospital, he started to just hear, follow me. follow me over and over again. For the next 2 days, it's all he could hear. And he was like, am I going crazy? This guy did not grow up in church. He had no context for this story. He has no idea what's going on. And his wife ends up passing away, but he keeps thinking about, what was I hearing? My friend invites him to their church that meets down the street in their house. And their church is teaching through the book of John, and they get to this story. And this guy goes, that's what I literally heard in the hospital. Follow me. And he begins to connect the dots, like, oh my goodness, this is what happened to me. That it's the Lord. The Lord's been beckoning me. He's been inviting me to follow him, to come. And this man has professed faith in Jesus. He's giving his life to Jesus in baptism. He connected the dots. And I go, some of you, that the way that you came to know Jesus, it wasn't through a family member, and it wasn't through a mentor. It was through Jesus himself appearing in a dream or in a vision or in a stirring deep in your spirit, in your heart. You weren't looking for God, but you realized that God came looking for you. Some of you have stepped into life with God because of a mentor, some because of family, some because of Jesus himself. And then some of you, the reason that you started walking with Jesus is because a friend introduced you to Jesus. Verse 44, listen to this. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip, listen to this, found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. This is packed with beauty. I love that Nathanael's roasting Nazareth. He's like, can anything good come from Nazareth? It's part of what he's doing, but bigger than that, Nathanael knew that Bethlehem was the place that Messiah was born. You know, Micah chapter 5, it makes it clear that the King of Israel, Messiah, is going to come through Bethlehem, not through Nazareth. And so when Philip shows up that day and says, hey, we found the Messiah from Nazareth, he goes, wait a minute. That's not where Messiah comes from. And I love this because this is so beautiful, because what does Philip do? Philip just says, I don't know. Come with me and see. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, this is so incredibly encouraging, because as we follow Jesus, as we invite people into life with God, I guarantee you will be asked questions by your friends that are curious that you are not going to have the answer to. And we learn from Philip what to do. It's okay, I don't know. Well, let's come and see. Let's dig in. Let's search. Let's ask questions. Let's go to the Lord and look at this. And I love that posture that Philip presents, but I also love the posture of Nathanael, because Nathanael has questions. And I think it's probably true for many of you today. You come here today and there are some things in your heart that you're feeling pulled to Jesus. And yet you still have some questions. And I love what Nathanael does. Nathanael doesn't take a step away until he gets all his questions answered. What does he do? He takes a step closer to Jesus with his questions. And Jesus sees Nathanael coming. Think about how beautiful this is. And in front of everybody, Nathanael's walking to Jesus with Philip, and Jesus draws attention to Nathanael, and he says, here is a man in whom there is no deceit. This is a man that's not pretentious, that is blunt. And it takes Nathanael back, because he's never met this Jesus before a day in his life. And he says something that is so true, that resonates, that no stranger should know this. And yet Nathanael knows that something is going on. Have you ever had a moment like that? Nathanael goes, he's puzzled. How do you know me? Oh, I saw you under the fig tree. And it moved Nathanael deeply. It was that knowledge that led him to declare, "You are the Son of God." And it's like, what in the world was Philip, or what was Nathanael doing under the fig tree? Tim Keller says he was doing something so significant, so impossible that any other human could know. He realizes that God saw him. That Jesus couldn't just be this mind reader, that there was something distinct. His friend, Philip, was trustworthy, had told him, "This is the Messiah." And then he comes up and God moves in his heart and he comes to this place of declaring with his own mouth, "You are God." And I love this because Nathanael has this life-changing experience with Jesus. Why? Why? Because his friend brought him to Jesus. I love hearing stories of friends bringing their friends to Jesus. I was meeting with a couple earlier this week, and I was asking her, "How did you come to know Jesus?" And she said, "When I was a college student at Tennessee Tech, my roommate invited me to church, and she brought me to Jesus." I read the book last month, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, and it's a story of a man that grew up Muslim and he was befriended by a Christian that took his faith serious, that was serious about following Jesus. And the Lord worked through this Christian friend to bring this man into a relationship with Jesus where he became a follower of Jesus. And over and over and over again, a way that God chooses to work, a way that he loves to work is through friends. God always shows up. It's not always on our timetable. But if we will be so bold to invite our friends, to share our faith, to live out our faith, the Lord will use it. Friendship is one of the best bridges for people to come to know Jesus. I love these stories in Scripture. I love that Jesus shows up over and over. He shows up differently to every single person. But when there's an earnest heart, and this is the common denominator for all these people that experienced Jesus, is that they were willing to move closer to Jesus. Even with maybe some apprehensions or some questions, that they didn't move away from him, that they took a step closer. And because they took a step closer, Jesus himself honored them and he touched them and he opened their heart and he helped them believe and understand that he is so much more than just a teacher. So much more than just a man who lived 2,000 years ago, that Jesus himself is the Son of the living God, raised from the dead, seated at the Father's right hand, that in Jesus there is forgiveness of sin, that in Jesus there is life, that in Jesus you receive the Spirit, that in Jesus there is hope in this life, that in Jesus that there is purpose, that in Jesus that you get to walk through this life with confidence, knowing that on the other side of death that you will be raised back to life, that you will stand in front of Jesus one day, the one who got up on a cross and who paid it all for you, that because of Jesus. And Jesus always shows up. But he asks us to take a step. To not be so prideful, thinking that we have it all figured out. To not be so sealed up that we don't allow God to move in our heart. And they experience Jesus because they received Jesus as he was, not as they perceived him to be, or what others told. They came to experience and know him because they gave Jesus an honest chance to prove himself. Some of you today, the Lord is inviting you to just like Andrew, to come and see. And for some of you, what that step looks like is giving God a real chance at your life. Many of you have been closed off, you've been shut off, you've been repelled by God, you have all the answers, you haven't needed him. And for some of you, the call is to give him an honest chance to prove. And so what this looks like for some of you is to pray, "God, if you're real, would you show me? It's to open the scriptures and to study Jesus and to allow the Spirit of God to actually work on your heart. It's to put yourself around Christians that are actually living out their faith, that are not just casual churchgoers, but people who love the Lord and who are living for Him. It's opening up your heart in worship and not looking around and judging and making the judgment call about whether it's real or genuine, but it's opening your heart to the living God, giving Him a real chance. For some of you, the invitation is to come and see. And it's something that you have to do on your own. Let down the guard that you've put up around your heart so that He could come in, and He will. For some of you, it's not come and see. For some of you, the call today is to come and follow. You know that He's real. And you've put your faith in Him, and you love Him, and you've received His forgiveness. And for some of you today, you knew today was coming. You knew today you were publicly going to be united with Jesus in baptism. It's what Paul says in Romans 6, that you will be buried through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, you too may live a new life. And some of you, you signed up, you knew it. Today was the day that you were going to step into being unified with Jesus forever. Your death, your sin, the person that you were, the flesh, going to death in the waters, and you come up a new life. Some of you, you knew today was going to be the come and follow day. Others of you today, you didn't know it. You planned to come and watch and to celebrate and to hear a teaching and to sing some songs, and yet Jesus Himself is calling you to follow Him. To be bold. To look foolish. It's a little foolish to go down into the waters in front of hundreds of people. It's foolish in the eyes of the world. He's inviting you to take a step. To publicly declare what you believe in your heart. That He is Lord. That He is God, that He is the purpose of life, that you do understand that He paid for your sin. And so today, for some of you, you didn't plan on it, but it's a day that for the rest of your life, this will be a life-changing day. So here in a minute, what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of response. And as we do this, it can look a couple different ways. And so for some of you, those of you who are followers of Jesus, I invite you to go get a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and like we do every Sunday, to come back and to take the communion with the people that you're sitting around, that you would pray for each other, that if you need to confess sin, you could do that. If there are people in your life that are not following Jesus and you want to pray for them, that's a great time and place to pray for that. For some of you, during the time of response, invite you to be baptized. And there'll be some people over to my right that will be wearing a lanyard. And if you have questions or you want to get baptized, come and see someone from our pastoral team. And we'll talk to you. We'll help you. If you want to get baptized but you weren't planning on it today, you know, we have clothes in the back in the changing rooms. We can FaceTime your family and friends here so they can see it. Some of you this morning, you're feeling the call to go all in with Jesus, to be baptized, but you're scared. And I want to just encourage you, you don't have to do it by yourself. And invite your friend, invite someone from your family to go with you. Man, hey, I want to get baptized, but I'm scared to go up there by myself. You don't have to. And so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to have a time of responding to Jesus. And so I want to invite us to stand right now. And I'm going to pray for us. And when I get done praying, if you want to get baptized, you can come to my right. Rest of us, let's take communion. And so, Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for who You are. Lord, I pray You would draw us to You today. And that many people would go into the water of baptism to be united with You in death, to put to death the person that they were because of being united with You, Jesus, and You're put to death. And just like You came out of death, God, we come out of those waters and we're new. New person, new spirit. Son and daughter, filled with Your Spirit. And so, God, would You move in power today? Would You help the desire to follow You, to know You, to be all in with You, far outweigh our fear of what other people think in this room? And so, Come, Holy Spirit, move. As we take the bread and drink the cup, God, move in that space. Give us a burning desire to share you, to not grow weary. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's respond to the Lord. Love you all right now.